Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's continue our message again today. We have been talking about the purpose of life, and we have zeroed it down onto the purpose of our walk with God. And we will read to start today from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. And don't forget what we said last time. We've been saying for some time, the reason why we are walking with God is not because of what we are going to get. The reason why we are walking with God is not because we want to pay him back for the debt we claim to be owing him. Christ Jesus paid every single one of those debts back. Are you getting the point? Yes, he did. And if we try to pay him again, we are denying his grace, we are denying his power, we are denying the power that is in the blood of Jesus. We are not paying him ahead for what we are going to get. No, that is, I will need to have a bargaining power with God as I'm praying. That's not why we are walking with him. The reason why we are walking with God simply is because we want to be like him. Are you getting my point? We want to be, like Jesus was described, the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And I emphasized something towards the end last time, that what you find is that we are being transformed from one level of glory to another. As we discover more of God, as we imbibe more of his truth, don't forget, knowledge is power. When we have the truth of God inside us, without us getting up, listen, let me just add this one to you. You may be having business problems, having marital problems, and the day you are transformed, or that the situation around you is transformed, is not the day you suddenly get out and start doing something different. It's just the day you wake up in the morning and revelation hits you. Are you getting my point? Maybe before then, you've been walking day and night thinking that by strength shall a man prevail. Then one day you get up in the morning, your Bible opens to a portion that says, that by strength shall no man prevail. You look at it. You say, what? You mean I cannot succeed by my own labor? Just for knowing that, you go out that same day, you've not done anything differently, doors begin to open. That's how knowledge works. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean when we say knowledge is power. So what are we saying? We are trying to discover God so that we'll be transformed by the truth that we are imbibing into his image. Let's read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. You are not thinking the way I want you to think. The Lord was speaking. And he said, for that reason, your ways are different from my ways. Now, he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, remember the point we made from here. We said that righteousness is in the heart. It's with the man's thinking pattern. How he's thinking is what the Bible calls righteous or unrighteousness. So an unrighteous man is not an unrighteous man because of what he is outwardly. He's unrighteous, first of all, because of what he is inside in his thinking pattern. And the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, that's exactly how he is. But his ways will become wicked because of those thought patterns. Are you getting the point there? And all right, so and when God was speaking here, he wasn't saying that I'm so different from you, I'm so radically different, you guys are different from me. All right, he wasn't saying that. He wasn't emphasizing the supremacy of his person. He was lamenting on the depravity that had come to mankind. That is, I set order for you to follow, you are not walking in it. He wasn't talking about my ways as the way by which I walk. He was talking about my ways as the way by which I set before you. Are you getting my point? But you are not walking in them. That's what he was saying. So we are saying that what he was emphasizing is that we must step up. That's what I'm trying to bring out. He wasn't saying that I'm different. No, he was saying you should come up to the level where I want you to be. And with last time we spent the time reading from Psalm 1. Quickly, let's just look at that Psalm 1 so I can remind us for a second or two on what we said. He said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We emphasize the fact that this man is blessed not because he was seeking the blessing. Verse 3 explained the kind of blessing that this man will experience. He said, but he's not experiencing it because he was seeking the blessing, but he experienced those blessings because he was delighting in the law. I emphasize this. Let me say it again. Please, Christians, we don't use the word of God to manipulate God so as to get something out of him. We just delight in the law of the Lord. I explained the issue of godliness with contentment. That is, we do what is right because they are right. We don't do what is right because of what they bring. We do the things that are right because they are right. Purely. That is it. Therefore, if they don't bring anything, we don't stop doing them. Are you getting my point? You can't say as a woman, I've been respecting this man all these years. He has not loved me. So what are you going to do? You're going to start disrespecting him so he might love you some more. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? No, that's not it. You do what is right because they are right. If I said, if you come like this, you won't make money. I'm not doing what I'm doing because it's supposed to make money eventually. I'm doing what I'm doing because it is right. Do you get my point? People have given me all kinds of counsel in the ministry. Do that like this, you'll be able to get this. I say, I'm not doing them because it's another way of getting what you are saying. I am saying that I'm doing them because this is what I have discovered as what is right. Let's not ever forget that. So our emphasis is on what is your delight. And what I'm trying to do, and I'm continuing it today, is to redirect the minds of believers to delighting in the thing that is central. The Lord Jesus said in that Luke chapter 10 that we're reading, he said, one thing is needful. He said, take my yoke upon you. He said in Matthew 11, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You take my yoke by learning of me. God has his ways. Our delight must be in learning how God does things. What I want to emphasize today is that Isaiah chapter 55. God said, I have a thinking pattern which produces a walking pattern. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it produces a walk, all right, in the way of God. And that's what the believer must go after. If you go and read that Romans chapter 12, I think we should read that. It's very important. The book of Romans chapter 12. This is the assignment we have as believers. Our assignment is not to go to church, first of all. No. Our assignment is this. Paul said it, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking pattern. Can you see that? Because that's where righteousness is. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. He said, the will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Why did I read this? To bring out the issue of the assignment of the believer as it comes to the ways of God and the thoughts of God. God has a pattern of thinking that he has set for his people. The world has its pattern. The difference between the church and the world, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is in the way they view life. The word mind there talks about your faculty for interpretation of things. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? There are people that, you know, just to illustrate, if they go somewhere, they don't give them a job, the conclusion is that those people are tribalistic. They don't think about the fact that they are probably incompetent. Do you follow what I'm saying? They don't think about the fact that maybe the level of qualification that is required, I do not have it. The level of skill that is required, I do not have it. All they think about is the fact that I am not from that state, therefore they did not give me the job. That's what they mean by mind. So what we are supposed to do, all right, is to learn the mind of God, the thoughts. Please notice that. The thoughts. There is a way God wants us to think. The assignment we have as believers is that in every aspect of life, we must think the way God wants us to think. Listen to this. As a married man, as an example, God has some thoughts that I must imbibe. When I go about being a Christian married man, it is not about how I talk, you know, just for the sake of talking. Say, praise God, amen. Everything you say, you dot it here and there with hallelujah, praise God. That's not the first thing. It's good. Are you getting my point? But the first thing is that, wait, you're a husband. Amen? Yes. What are the divine thoughts about what a husband is? In that my book, Should I Say Yes? The book on marriage and all of that. I explain something that you must, and that's what the book is about. You must first understand what God means when he uses the word husband, because it's not a common thought, you'll be surprised. When he uses the word wife, you know, just to illustrate, a lot of men say, you marry after you have settled. I say it is not possible. Adam was given a wife because he was not settled. He was not given a wife because he was settled. God looked and said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Therefore, let me help him settle. Do you follow my point? Therefore, it is not Christian thinking for men to go around and say, don't worry. When they say, when are you getting married? When I have settled. You know this man doesn't have divine thoughts. And of course, the same way, let's turn it around. It is wrong Christian thinking for a woman to say, I will marry a man that is settled. And like the one I say all the time, it is very ungodly for a woman to open her mouth and say, I will marry a man that can take care of me. You are not a project. You are a help for the man. Are you getting me? He's not supposed to see you as an added responsibility that has been put into his life now so as to make his life more difficult. Do you get my point? I'm not saying he doesn't have a responsibility towards you. You have a responsibility towards him just as much as he has towards you. But the point is that the two of you are supposed to work together to make the assignment that God gave you to succeed. You don't succeed first and then look for somebody to add after you have succeeded. It doesn't work like that. I'm using those things to illustrate the matter of divine thoughts. Let's take business as an example. Most human beings, this is a worldly thought pattern. They think that business is about making money. Do you get my point? So every new idea you bring into a business, it must be for making more money. Meanwhile, that is not true. The first thing about business, as far as God is concerned, is that it's the machinery I put in place so that people's skills, are you getting my point, can be delivered to those who need them. It's the machinery I put in place so that somebody will be able to bless the people around him. That's what business is about. So first of all, therefore, now listen, I'm not saying the person should just get up and be losing money. You don't want to be losing money because the business will soon close. Do you get my point? Money is part of the flow of that business. But the primary reason is not money. Therefore, you don't depart from one calling you have just because the other one makes more money. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's something Paul said here. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. He said, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the reason why I read that. A lot of times people ask you questions. They want to know, what is the will of God? So they want, listen to this, they want to go and settle down and pray until they discover the will of God. They want to settle down and pray until they have a vision. Or they just quickly go and take Valium 10, you know, and sleep, hoping that God will quickly rush a dream, all right, to them. And once you are awake, you cannot really dream. So they quickly go and sleep, take some sedative so that God can rush a dream. And a lot of times the guy wakes up in the morning, he's groggy, and the Lord has said nothing, you know. He has said nothing. And people will come and prophesy. As the spirit of prophecy comes upon the man, say, my son, don't worry, I am with thee. And the guy said, listen, I was never in doubt that you are with me. What are you prophesying there? Ask the Lord for me. You get my point? What should I do under these circumstances? And we are looking for those dramatic manifestations. I heard of a man who used to make phone calls to heaven. True story. And people would queue up for their own turn. That was before the days of GSM. So since phones were rare, he too just had one, and he was the only one that knew the exchange he was using to connect heaven. And he would actually pick up the phone and say, hello, hello, is that heaven? I'm serious. Can I speak to the Father God? And people are there believing him. And they said, that prophet is powerful, and he whips out his Nokia and said, let me dial God's number. I said, can I have his number? I said, no, it's a private number. Now I'm going somewhere here. No, that's not what we need to know the will of God. The first thing we need to discover God's will, which is what Paul was saying, all right, is that we must understand how he thinks normally. And we do that by constantly being transformed. We learn his thinking pattern. And once we understand his thinking pattern, you know, we just know. That's what Paul was saying. We prove what the will of God is. You will know that this cannot be the will of God. And under the rare circumstance that it is the will of God, God will not decide by himself to use supernatural methods to convey that will to you. Do you understand my point? He'll use supernatural methods to convey that will to you. That's what he does. But the primary way by which we know the will of God is not to rush. Listen, I need to dispel this thing from our minds. You go to church, say, pastor, pray. Why? I have 3 job opportunities here. Pray and tell me which one I should take. That is not Christianity. That is divination. Do you understand the point I am making? It is not Christianity. What is it? Divination. So the man will pray, Ashamama, brakadabra, brakadabra, and the Holy Spirit says, you shall take this one. Do you understand my point? If I'm the pastor, I will fold the 3 together, pray, and say, the Lord says, you shall take this one. He said, there are 3 there. I say, I have spoken. Go home and go and decode it by yourself. You see, the problem is that people are lazy. You know, I've been saying it before. They are restless. So the pastors have taken up the job of doing their spiritual work for them. And if you're a pastor listening to this, don't do people's spiritual jobs for them. Do you follow the point I'm making? Don't. I heard of one young man, he's dead now. And people like that usually die. And if you're a pastor, you too, you will die if you do what I'm about to say. The young man used to fast for people that need to fast. You get my point? Yes, they go. Somebody say, go and fast for 3 days. He might say, I'm too busy. So you go and pay this young man
to fast.
Now, it sounds funny. Say, how can you be fasting for somebody else? But pastors are seeing visions for other people. People come and queue up and say, tell me the will of God. If you continue like that, you too, you soon become spiritually exhausted and you will just die suddenly. What are you supposed to do? Jethro explained it to Moses. They used to bring every problem in Israel to the doors of Moses, to his feet, to solve. Jethro, his father-in-law, said, hey, this thing that you are doing is not good. So what am I supposed to do? He said, teach the people the law. Are you getting my point? Teach the people the law. What people want is, pastor, you are the pastor. Tell us the will of God. That's not what God wants as his will. Jethro had to say to Moses, teach the people the law. Then appoint amongst them judges who will know the law. And they will be able to interpret the law for the people. See only the difficult cases. And you will see, if you read the scriptures, you find that the only case that got to Moses after, there was no law for it. Moses had to go to the temple, what do you call it? The tabernacle. And he went to meet with God. And that was the case in which a man died and all his children were girls. And the law of inheritance had made no provision for girls. And the girls raised a protest. So who's going to inherit? Our cousins? They said no. They went to the judges. Those had no idea. They brought it to Moses. Moses went through the law. The Lord has said nothing. So he went to go and pray. And God said, from now, you will share the inheritance with the girls. Are you getting my point? How do we know the will of God? We learn his ways. We don't go to church to go and carry a pastor's briefcase so that he might prophesy. Do you get my point? If you're a pastor, you should prophesy. It's a priestly assignment to bless people. Thus, you bless the sons of Israel. God said to Moses to tell Aaron, you shall say to them, the Lord bless you. It's a good thing. Every day, pastors prophesy. In fact, forget pastors for a moment. Everybody in authority should. Derek Prince explained in his book, Husbands and Fathers. And if you're a husband and a father, or you're aspiring to be one, go and buy the book. I don't sell it. I'm recommending so you can be helped by it. The book is titled Husbands and Fathers by Derek Prince. Buy it. It will help your life. I know you are listening and say, pastor, I'm just 19 years old. I hereby instruct you. Buy it. Do you understand my point? Read it. Why did I bring up that issue? Fathers are priests in the house. So as a priest, you should also prophesy over your children. If you are the pastor, you are the priest over the church. Prophesy over it. If you're a businessman, you run your own business, you are the CEO, the chief executive officer. You are also the chief priestly officer if you're a Christian. A lot of people go and invite prophets to come and prophesy over the business. It's because you are not a strong child of God yourself. Read the scriptures and build strength into your soul. Go to your business. You have the greatest power over that business than that prophet. It's good for your pastor to come and pray over it. Fine. But after he has prayed once, won't he go home? As a pastor, I'm not coming to open your office for you every day. I'm not. But you will go there every day. Come early before everybody else and donate blessings all over the place. It's a good job. You must do it constantly. And if you're a pastor, do it also. Bless your people. But please, you cannot go and do divination for anybody. What you do is you constantly pray. If God brings a revelation, fine. I'm not saying revelations don't happen. They do. But what do? You pray constantly. Are you getting my point? As we pray for the people, and you teach them the word of God, more importantly. But my emphasis is not on the pastors now, it's on the people. You go out to learn the word of God. That is how you discover what the will of God is. There are times people tell you that they prayed for days, and then Lord spoke to them like this, and you feel like quoting the scripture for them. Now, you didn't have to pray for days to discover that scripture. You should have just asked me, I would have told you. But don't ask me. Know it yourself. Read the scriptures before the day of need. Are you getting my point? This delight is in the law of the Lord. That is, God has ways. If I want to get married, I gave us an example some time ago. Instead of, as a young woman, instead of spending all my money, gown, ring, you know, confetti, you know, what else now? Color combination. And when a woman wants to marry, that's when you, as men, we hear colors. When you start hearing colors, sometimes you are afraid. Combination, they say, all the men in cap come with beige cap. The women come with turquoise, you know, headgear. And the first thing you first ask yourself, what is beige? What is turquoise? You bring one, he said, no, that one is lilac. You bring another, he said, it's fuchsia. He said, when did you guys go beyond this one? We know red, green, yellow, blue, white. But listen, there is no color that describes the ways of God. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The ways of God, we have to know it by looking for it and learning it. I said earlier that God checks in your heart whether this thing is valuable to you. Do you get my point? If you say a book is too expensive, and why you spend so much on books, you have told God, I don't desire knowledge. Are you following what I'm saying? God says, hey, the book is too costly. The CDs are too costly. Paying for the seminar is too costly. How much did you buy those shoes? Do you follow my point? But the shoes are precious to you, so you buy them. And like women often do, and some men too, we begin to pay small, small. Every month you go pay something. Ask people who have been buying shoes and shirts and suits and ties and paying small, small. How many times have you bought books and paid small, small? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. There's a conference that you are going to learn a lot. Ah, that will take me away from my business for 2 days. But the money you're making for 2 days, you are using to pay for plasma TV, small, small. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Like I gave illustration last time, people say that, ah, you're such a blessing, you're such a blessing. Which pastor do you pray? Which church do you pastor? And I say, no, I don't pastor a church. Ah, so you don't preach somewhere? I say, I do. I have a ministry office. But I preach in the evenings on Saturdays. They say, oh, Saturdays. That's when my village people meet. They say, oh, that's when I have choir practice. Oh, Saturdays. One day, a young man saw me downstairs. That's below our office. And he said, oh, pastor, I've missed you. And Israel started laughing. Because Israel knew the next thing I was going to say. I told my friend, get away from there. How can you tell me? Listen, before I married, if I told me whom I wanted to marry, I've missed her. I know where to go and look for her. And it was a great distance. How can you have a teacher of the word in the same city with you and you are opening your mouth to lie to yourself, not to me? I can never be deceived by that. That you have missed me when you know where to find me. You didn't miss me nothing. If you did, you knew where to find me. You would have come. People are looking, listen, most people are looking for entertainers. In Enugu, where I stay, people say, ah, sir, you're not on radio again. I say, why should I be on radio when I have an office in Enugu? And I preach in that office twice a week. I was on radio for years. Those who wanted, who learned the word, and many people have come because of that, they know where to find me. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A lot of people delight in prayer. Find it for me in the scriptures where a man was blessed because he delighted to pray all the time. No, it's not there. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord said concerning Mary, he said, Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Because that is the source of blessing. You cannot work for God effectively except his word is the thing producing the work in you. The Bible says God is at work within us both to make us will and then to do. He must be working in you first. Otherwise, that which you are doing is not acceptable to him. You must understand that God does not like surprises. I've heard people who like to manipulate God with this, you know, with their own works. They make it look like just wake up and do something dangerous for God and God will jump from his throne and start blessing you. Anything you do to him that's surprising, you are more likely to die than to be blessed. Let me say it again. Your life is in danger if you are in the habit of surprising God. Because he has laid down rules and laid down principles for everything. And he has given us a commandment to seek after wisdom and seek after knowledge. Wisdom is down there in the streets, Solomon was saying, and shouting, come, you stupid ones, discern wisdom. Come and get understanding. He said, exalt her, she shall promote you. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto you and an ornament of grace. Riches is in her right hand. Long life is there. He said, I'm shouting now, you are not paying me attention. He said, a day will come when your dread will come. You will shout that day and I will not listen to you. David said, let's go and carry the ark. And Uzzah, when the ark was about to fall, said, let me surprise God by helping him hold it up. And God killed Uzzah there. Why? I commanded that if you are not a priest, you are not supposed to touch this ark. Even the priests don't touch it anyhow. They carry poles, put it into rings. They're already attached to the ark, and they lift it up. With all the good intention in the hearts of David, what happened? Uzzah died. Therefore, Solomon, he said, guard your steps. Guard your steps, because it is dangerous if you miss it. He said, guard your steps when you draw near to the temple. Draw near to listen, rather than to come because of ignorance and start offering the sacrifices of fools. If you're in the habit of surprising God, you are likely to die from it. I know for a lot of people, this is revolutionary thinking. I've heard testimonies. People will do that which is directly in opposition to the will of God. And they give a testimony about it. Say, praise God. You know, the work of God is so important to me. When it was time to pay my children's fees, I gave the money to buy a rug for the altar in our church. Rug. Because you're an idol worshiper. That's the problem. How much stupid can somebody get? You don't learn to prioritize. It's the work of God. I say, oh, the children going to school is the work of Satan. Because people are idolatrous. They worship at buildings. They don't settle down and study the word of God and find out what God says is right and what he says is wrong. They don't. The problem is we are catering to the feelings of the flesh. You want to be able to brag and say, God, check your records. Who comes to church first? God said, go and listen to Pastor Banke. He said, I don't come there to check record. The one place I don't check record is church. It's like a man driving a taxi saying that, check your record. I go to filling station more than everybody else. He said, you go to filling station, so? Show me who you carried from one place to the other. Do you understand my point? What is filling station for? Go and refuel. Church is for refueling so we can do good works. We are not checked at how many times we refuel. We are checked based on the effectiveness of the work we are doing for God. And we cannot do his work, just like you cannot power your taxi with water. Or you say, diesel scarce, petrol scarce. So you go to your kitchen, say, give me small palm oil. In the same manner, you cannot power the work of God with your own energy. So you power God's work in your life with his word. So we go to church to go and imbibe the truth of God. Not to go and mark register and tell God, you know, we're there plenty. Do you get the point I'm making? What is our delight in? We want to know the ways of God. God is not, look, it's not about testimonies. They're shouting, yes, we'd like to testify. Sometimes some of our testimonies are embarrassing to God. Why? There are things done in disobedience. Because if people are not eager to learn the ways of God, listen to me, God has ways. If you want to be a politician, people say politics is dirty. I say, I'm nonsense. Politics is not dirty. It's only when it's played by dirty people that a holy place is messy. Do you get what I'm saying? The other day, I asked my cousin, I said, ah, please, you can look at all the dirt inside this car. I want to have a small car vacuum. I said, why don't you use a car vacuum? He said, ah. I said, bros, would they use the thing? But anytime we carry these children, any Sunday, by the time children are through with the car, you'll see biscuit in every corner, popcorn here, sand here, you know. Does it mean the car is dirty? No, it means children entered it. What am I going to explain? Politics is dirty. Why? Because dirty people played it. If you want to be a politician as a believer, you have the grace of God with you. But what he's saying is, go and read, what are my ways? What are my thoughts concerning playing Christian politics? If you say, in Nigeria, a good Christian cannot be a politician, it's a lie. Good Christians can be politicians in Nigeria. In fact, Nigeria needs them more than America does. And they can't do it. They can't. Because next time I'll begin to explain the power of grace. If you walk with the thoughts of God, it sucks the power of the Spirit into your works. It does. It does.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. to contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.